Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Won't be talking much baseball in the show. I'm going to start with football. But I did love the Schadenfreude out of Washington, D.C. The Nationals are into the postseason. Congratulations to them. I hope you win the wild card game. You'll lose to the Dodgers. But good luck. Good luck there in the wild card game. It's going to be, looks like, the Nationals and the Brewers in the National League wild card game. But the unadulterated Schadenfreude of Bryce Harper, who left Washington after being offered a big contract to go to Philadelphia. And in the timing could not have been better. Now, I realize the Phillies and Nationals are in the same division. They play each other like 20 times a year almost. But for the Phillies, the elimination game of the Phillies to be against the Nationals and Bryce Harper on the field for the Philadelphia Phillies was wonderful. It was absolutely just spectacular. So congratulations. I hope you enjoyed the Schadenfreude. It's a great word. There's no other word. There's no synonym to Schadenfreude. There's no other word that is exactly descriptive of the word Schadenfreude. Anyway, let's go to football, because that's where the bread is buttered. That's where we keep the power on here at Fox Sports Radio. The lights can go on all night because we talk football. Now, one of the big talking points this week, and we talked about yesterday a little bit, was Mitch Trubisky and his status in Chicago. Now, we did a kind of a blah review of Trubisky. He played very well in the first half of the Monday night game against the Washington Redskins. But a lot of that was training wheels. You're getting pushed as a kid when you learn how to ride a bike, and your mom or dad pushes you, and you got the training wheels on and all that stuff. So all the turnovers, a gaggle of mistakes by the Washington Redskins set up the Chicago Bears. The Bears ended up mauling the Redskins in the Monday night game. They were 28-0. Trubisky, as we said, big first half, kind of coasting along there the rest of the way. Now, did it change the national narrative? Now, we were critical, but we're always critical. That's how we do things here. We have a high expectation, but it did not. If you've not heard the noise here, there's a lot of it. Let me give you a couple of examples of the reaction to Mitch Trubisky's performance and where he is right now as a quarterback. Chris Carter, Hall of Famer, does television. He's on Fox Sports 1. He suggests that Mitch Trubisky's inconsistency is limiting and doing harm to Matt Nagy's play calling, that this is such a messed up situation that the Bears can't even run the offense the coach wants to run because Trubisky's incompetent, essentially. I'm paraphrasing some of that. Then you had former Pittsburgh Steeler Ryan Clark, who's also on the Boob Tube. I forget what channel he works at, conveniently. But now he's a talking head, and he went even further when talking about Mitch Trubisky. He said, quote, "We already know he's compared to the other two guys in Mahomes and Watson," referring to the fact that the Bears drafted Mitch Trubisky ahead of every other quarterback that they could have gotten, and that's that the fallout from that. Mahomes, an MVP. Watson, the jury's still out on Watson, but he's been better. I'll give him that. He's been better as a pro than Mitch Trubisky. Anyway, the quote continues from Ryan Clark. He said, get back to Trubisky. He said, he's going to start being compared to guys like Ryan Leaf and Jamarcus Russell as bus, close quote. And there were others, but I want to get to the meat of this. So the question, as we discuss, is this consternation about Mitch Trubisky real or imagined? Meaning it's not that big a deal because the Bears are still winning a lot of these games, so it's not really that big a deal. Who cares, right? I believe it is legit. In fact, too legit to quit ripping Mitch Trubisky. In my take, you've got the caboose, the remote control, and marshmallows. And we will put all these things on a pizza, and we'll make all the toppings, because you got to have a few toppings. You can't just eat the pizza without the toppings. You got to have some toppings on it. Now, to lead off with, obviously the Bears have a championship, elite, premier defense, whatever adjective you want to use. But you're only as good as your weakest link. I learned that when I was a kid. I had a teacher tell me that one time. You're only as good as your weak. Ben, you're not good at math. You can't go anywhere. You got to learn how to do math. And I was like, shut up. I'll be fine. I'll go into radio. There's no math in radio. And here I am. Look at me. Where are those professors right now? Where are they, I ask you? Anyway, in Chicago, the weakest link, I looked it up, Mitch Trubisky. That's the weakest link right there. It says it. Generally speaking, this guy has not been carrying the water, his share of the water up the hill. And he is rightfully compared to guys like Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. Both those players have paid different levels of dividends for their respective teams. Watson, not as nearly as much as Mahomes, but Watson, again, regularly, he's had a better couple of years here than Trubisky. The Bears have won some games. He's got a winning record, Trubisky, but not because of him. It's kind of like he's on a piggyback ride on the back of Khalil Mack and the Bears defense. Giddy up, right? In railroad parlance, if this was the railroad, we have some guys that listen who are working in the railroad business, but Mitch Trubisky was billboarded as the engine of the train. The most important part of the train is the engine, because it carries, you know, everything in the trains. You know it. But so far, Mitch Trubisky has not been the engine. He has been a boxcar. He's been the caboose. He has been the caboose bringing up the rear for the Chicago Bears. That's Mitch Trubisky. Now, furthermore, if you were to put a letter grade on the Bears quarterback, and I'm willing to do that. I'm not afraid to do it. I am open to it. I love giving out letter grades. I am giving Mitch Trubisky a D-, not an F, not an F, a D-. He is a below-average NFL quarterback. He managed somehow this year to regress from last season so far, three games in. It's to the point he has become a clear liability. There were times where Trubisky was neither a net negative or a net positive. He was just kind of there. You know, just kind of there. But now he's no longer in that category. He's often been the problem. And what's my evidence? Let's go to the stats. Ranked 27th in quarterback rating this year through the first three games of the Bears season. Barely ahead of Alligator Arms Kyler Murray, who has played terribly for the Cardinals this year. What a bust that guy was. We often talk about yards per attempt as a big thing that quarterbacks are judged by and something that we put a lot of stock into. And Trubisky is at 5.6 yards per attempt. That is, where does that rank? Dead last in the NFL. Yards per pass attempt. Now, average would be 7 yards per attempt. And he's almost a yard and a half below average. Trubisky, now he can't blame the receiver. So I said, I know the counter argument. I know the rebuttal from the people who love the Bears. I've seen this play out, and I know what the devil's advocate argument is for Trubisky. So, well, it's not his fault. A lot of drop passes. I looked it up. The Bears receiving core has only dropped 4 passes this season from Mitch Trubisky. 4. That's not enough to flip the statistical outcome for Trubisky in an amazing way. It's just not. I mean, it's pretty much meaningless. Now, since his debut, right, since his debut back in 2017, Mitch Trubisky has been, if he was at the store, you know how they like they have the name brands and then they have the generic brand? I love the generic brand. Kirkland, generic brand. Love Kirkland. But most generic brands are not thought of with the same cachet as the Kirkland brand products. But he's a generic store brand quarterback. 27% of Mitch Trubisky's games, he has had 2 or more touchdowns. 27%. You know what percentage of his starts have resulted in 1 or no touchdowns? 72%. Of Mitch Trubisky's starts for the Bears have resulted in 1 or no touchdowns, and 34% of that 72%, no touchdowns. 0, 0, none. So there's a better chance of you go out watching the Bears play and Trubisky not even having a touchdown pass as opposed to him having two or more touchdown passes. And certainly the odds are overwhelming, 72%, that he's going to have one touchdown or no touchdowns in the game. And many of these performances, you know what they are? They are a I like to call it grab the remote control type performance. Like if this is not your squad and just flipping around, when the Bears have the ball on offense, they're like, all right, let me grab the remote control and I'll change the channel. It's a change the channel situation with Trubisky. There's no ebb and flow to the Bears offense. The Bears. Now the last thing here, it appears, at least here on this side of the microphone, that Mitch Trubisky is lacking a solid foundation. Are people being unreasonable? Is he being unfairly scrutinized? No. You got to read the fine print. Bad job by him if he didn't read the fine print. When you're drafted that high and you're on a team that is expected to get to a Super Bowl or contend for one, this goes with the territory. It's completely fair, and you're going to get analyzed and scrutinized and all of those things and stigmatized and politicized by the peanut gallery. Watching Mitch Trubisky, it's like the Bears decided to build a beautiful palace, and they chose to build the palace on a hill made out of marshmallows. And that's what they decided, right? Marshmallow Hill. It's not a very stable. That gelatin's not very stable to build a building on. And Trubisky is not a star, and I've seen no evidence that he's about to become a star. He's rather unremarkable in most areas. He's smack dab in the middle of the bell curve. The word you could use is lackluster. That would be the appropriate word. And as long as he's able to ride the coattails of the Chicago Bears defense, everything will be all right. But if you're Matt Nagy, you have to hope that Trubisky does not sabotage. He's not a saboteur for this team and just be the caretaker of the offense. Look, Minnesota has a great defense. They got offensive issues too. The Packers, pretty good defense. That offense in Green Bay, even though they're 3-0, has not been good. We'll see that on Thursday. That's a Fox game Thursday, the Packers and the Philadelphia Eagles. And you're talking about legit competition in the NFC North, and the team that was supposed to be dead and buried, the Detroit Lions, have yet to lose a game. Nothing to sneeze at. They got two legitimate wins in Philly and at home against the Chargers. So Chicago is going to have to employ the time-tested offensive strategy. And I know this because many of the teams that I've supported over the years have had to do this. It's called the hide the quarterback offensive strategy. You have to play offensive football and try to hide the most important player on the field. Okay, the most important player on the field, you got to hide that guy.
Duh.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
So 3 weeks into the NFL and one of the teams off to the perfect 3-0 start, the Los Angeles Rams, 3-0. No hangover from losing and playing like a bunch of bums and Bill Belichick running circles around the Rams. But not all is right in Mudville for the Rams. LA's high octane offense the last couple years has not arrived. Now, the Rams are 8th in points, which seems misleading. Right? They're down about 5 points a game from last season. Doesn't seem that bad, down 5 points. They're still in the top 10 offensively. However, you got to dig a little bit deeper in terms of moving the football, matriculating the ball down the field. The LA Rams in total offense are a middle-of-the-road squad. They rank 16th in yards per game. In fact, to give you an idea of where that is in the spectrum, on the spectrum, the Rams have been less productive offensively in terms of yardage than the Minnesota Vikings, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the Detroit Lions, who all have been more successful with their offense. So what happened to the pageantry of the Ram offense? Now, has Sean McVay lost the playbook with his offensive repertoire? Is that gone somewhere? Did he leave that when he got married? One of those, maybe the south of France there when he was on that boat with the beautiful wife that, or I guess he's not. Is he married yet? I don't know if he got married, but he was engaged and all that in the offseason. I know that. So, but I'm going to say no, he did not lose the offensive playbook. This goes back to Todd Gurley, number 30, Todd Gurley, running back for the LA Rams. Now, Gurley has been both a running back and a non-factor in the Rams offense. He has been an afterthought. You know how you can go to a restaurant, you can get a steak, a New York strip steak, or you can get ground chuck? At this point, Todd Gurley has gone from that New York strip steak, which is very pricey, to ground chuck is where he's at right now. So did you hear what Sean McVay said about the load management plan? Well, you didn't. Good. Oh, we have the audio. Let's go to the audio tape. Here's McVay addressing what happened to Todd Gurley and where has he gone.
No, we're not doing anything like that, Liz. It's more along the lines of,
my name's Ben.
Each week presents a different approach, and it's kind of the feel, the flow of the game. We want to get Todd involved. I'd like to do better about being able to give him a chance to really get more into a rhythm than what I've enabled him to do in these first three games. But then you also want to be able to give Malcolm some of his snaps, and I think it's worked out good in terms of the balance. But like I said, I think there's some things that you'd like to do a lot better job of giving Todd an opportunity to really get going. And yesterday, I didn't really represent that chance for him.
All right, so that was from earlier in the week, obviously, but it's kind of the, as he said, the feel and the flow of the game, and then he said he wanted to get Todd Gurley more involved in the offense, which seems puzzling to me when you consider the bigger picture. You got the, not just the micro, you've got the macro. So let us discuss the question, are you buying what you just heard from Sean McVay and his declaration on Todd Gurley pushing back on load management, fighting back against those that say load management? I am going to object. All right. I am going to object to Sean McVay. And my thoughts on this, you've got a bunch of things. You've got the Broadway show, you have the misdirection, which is also known as gaslighting, and in addition, you've got the devil. And we will combine all these things together, and we will make a Maller monologue. That's how we're going to do it. Now, A, Sean McVay is obsessed with offensive football, and by all accounts, that has not changed. It is not. It is amusing. I think that's the right word. It's amusing to hear Sean McVay say that he wants to get Todd Gurley more involved. Not only is McVay the coach, he's the micromanager, right? He's in charge of everything offensively related to the Rams. So if you think of this like it was a nice play on Broadway, a Broadway play, and Sean McVay is the one who choreographs everything that's going to take place on that stage. Everything, right? Each week, the Rams get together, they come up with an offensive script, but that's mostly on the back of Sean McVay. And he has a handful of plays to start the game, and then he has an idea what he wants to do as the game goes on. But it's all choreographed, it's all planned out. And we know he doesn't do much of anything with the defense, that he's just not even paying attention most of the time, and the defense does their own thing and all that, so it's all about the offense. Like, if this was a debate, if Aaron Donald got hurt and then came back and was limited and didn't play that much, and he was asked McVay about load management, then I could totally get him kind of deferring to Wade Phillips and all that, the defensive coordinator. I would get that. Now, part B of this, it is painfully obvious what is going on here. So Sean McVay is, he's putting up this facade. Now, he's a smooth talker, McVay, and he's able to do things similar to Belichick as far as deflect, but he says a lot more while he's doing it. Do you understand? Like he has a lot more words, where Bill Belichick will just go, he'll grunt and give you the death stare and all that and say a couple of things. That's it. But it's different with McVay. And he's like a smooth politician, like someone in Congress. Right, some highfalutin congressperson or senator or whatever. The Rams, this soundbite that we played here from McVay, the reason we played that is because that is what's known as gaslighting the fan base, right? That's saying there's no load management is akin to a politician claiming that, for example, they want to fight some vicious illness, and then they do a poll and they determine, well, the public doesn't want that, so then they just completely They back away from it. I mean, it's essentially taking part. I guess that's not the right description, but it's taking part in a scheme, if you will, to keep the touches down while claiming you're not doing it. So it's essentially doing something and saying you're not doing what you say, what you're obviously doing. You just don't want to admit to it. You say it's not going on. It's the old misdirection play. Right, that's the old misdirection. Just like some businesses keep hours down artificially so the employees stay at a certain number of hours so they will not become full-time. We see this a lot in business these days. The Rams are putting up a barrier, a reef around Todd Gurley. And you should also use the duck test. This is a perfect example of the duck test. Quack, 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 quack. The duck test, if it looks like load management, if it walks like load management, if it quacks like load management, guess what? Spoiler alert, it's load management. That's what it is, the duck test. Let's go to the stats. Now, Todd Gurley, 14.7 rushing attempts per game, less than 15 carries per game. That would be, if it holds up, a career low. For Gurley, it's only a couple of games. It's only a couple of games. They don't ask me to wait to the end of the year to do the evaluation. How about Gurley averaging, last year he averaged 89.4 yards on the ground. 89.4 per game, guaranteed. Book it, put it down, in writing, in a pen, you're going to get that production from Todd Gurley. Now, he is down to 67.7 rushing yards per game. To put that differently, that's almost a 25% reduction in running production. The reduction in production is dysfunction for the Rams offense right now, which is in the middle of the pack offensively. It's down 24.2% from last season. Now, the last thing on this. So the devil is in the details. Todd Gurley has been the, we talk about this when Easter comes around every year, we say we have the hollow bunny, right? You got the chocolate bunny, which you get as a kid, and you think it's just solid chocolate, and then you realize, and you're devastated to find out, no, it's not solid chocolate, it's a hollow bunny. That's what Todd Gurley has been. He was a solid chocolate bunny last year, and now he's the hollow bunny. So far this year, he has lost the ability, apparently, watching the Rams, which I do watch more than most of the teams, but he has lost the ability to go what we like to call turbo time. And he has gone from a Swiss Army knife type of running back that can beat you in different ways with the big knife, the small knife, the scissors, all those different things on a Swiss Army knife. And now he's a butter knife, just the butter knife, just a plastic butter knife, a cheap plastic butter knife. That's what he's played like. The fear factor is gone. Now, will he get it back? How will you get it back? Are the Rams just doing this? Is this like the hope has to be this is like Kawhi Leonard in Toronto and he misses a bunch of games, but then when you need him late in the year, he'll be ready to go and he'll be like, well, you're slow playing. But oftentimes my experience is, and every once in a while there's the outlier, the anomaly, but oftentimes when a player starts like this, they finish like this. Very rarely, and when it happens, people make a big deal about it. A player gets off to a start like this, and then they turn things around. More times than not, no, this is who he is. This is who Todd Gurley is going to be for the Rams. He's no longer an intimidating presence. And you look at other teams, the Rams are playing Tampa Bay this weekend. Buccaneers are a bad football team. Games in L.A. You think the Buccaneers are that concerned about Todd Gurley that they have to game plan? He's not the linchpin of the Rams offense right now. He's not the center of attention for the Rams at all. Not the case. All right, it's Ben Maller's show on Fox as we press on here, and we will take your phone calls at 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. Also want to congratulate the Los Angeles Dodgers, who have clinched home field advantage throughout the National League playoffs. Yet again, the road to the World Series in the National League goes through Los Angeles. We now know the Dodgers will play we've actually known this for a while, but they're going to play the winner of the NL wildcard game, which will be the Nationals, who did clinch a playoff berth on Tuesday, and then it's going to be Milwaukee. All right, now, technically, the Mets and Cubs are still mathematically alive, but the math works out where it's the Milwaukee Brewers who are going to be in. So either one of those teams, that if the Brewers come to L.A., that would be a rematch. Nationals, Dodgers have played them over the years in the playoffs, so not last year, but they have matched up in the past. So seven consecutive division titles, and they're certainly the favorite going in to get back to the World Series for the third consecutive year in the National League. You look at where they are and where the Red Sox are in disarray after they won the World Series. Dombrowski's gone. They fired a couple of his assistants, his right-hand people. They're gone from the Red Sox, and they got some issues there. But, hey, they won the World Series. And they'll probably win the World Series again, the Red Sox, in like 3 years, and that's just kind of how it works.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
Coop Dalu.
Ben, people still like to hear from Rex Ryan for some reason.
He gets paid. He's on television.
Yeah, that's right. The other day, he called Baker Mayfield overrated as hell.
Is hell overrated? Because hell's got a lot of publicity. Is hell not that bad?
I mean, I don't know. Never been there.
Okay.
So,
all right.
But, well, I'll let you know eventually.
Yeah, let me know. Yeah.
He said he's a one-read guy.
Yeah.
Ben, is Baker overrated, or is this just a slow start, or maybe a little bit of both?
I believe Rex Ryan should apologize because he's talking about the reading comprehension skills of Baker Mayfield. It's a bad job by him. Thank you. Listen, here's a couple of things. You are what your record says you are. It's like the old line from Parcells, right? Baker Mayfield has been, against teams with a winning a record, he has been an abject failure with the Browns. And he's often played, this year he's played like an 18-car pileup. There's a lot of promises that were made that have not so far been kept. And his mistakes directly cost the Browns. I'm going to say the Tennessee game, even though that was a blowout, but it was a two-point game until Baker Mayfield, third quarter, decides to start throwing the ball to the Tennessee defensive backs, thinking they were Browns receivers. You got the Rams game where Cleveland should have tied the game and at least gone to overtime with a touchdown on four downs. They couldn't get the ball in the end zone. He threw an interception. When your mouth writes checks, I have no problem with guys that have big mouths. I live for this because it makes my job easier. But when you have a big mouth and you write checks that your body cannot and will not cash, there is a price to pay. The price to pay is you get criticized. You get lambasted, right, when that happens. And there are very few quarterbacks more braggadocious than Baker Mayfield. Now, he's got plenty of time to turn this around, and I keep looking at the Browns' schedule. I see all these games coming up against bad football teams that the Browns have, seven games against teams that are currently winless in the NFL. That's a very nice schedule for Cleveland down the line. But at this moment, Rex Ryan is not wrong. Baker Mayfield has been overrated, but as we like to say, overrated does not mean terrible. It just means you're not as good as people expected you to be. All right, next.
Ben, it was all doom and gloom when Andrew Luck decided to retire 2 weeks before the season. But Jacoby Brissett has played pretty well in Andrew Luck's stead.
Yeah.
Do you think he'll lead to the Colts to the playoffs in this week AFC?
All right, so I am not sold on Indy. I know they're off to a pretty good start, but they've beaten the Titans and the Falcons. A couple of teams that don't appear to be playoff teams. The Colts lost the game against the Chargers, who also, by the way, don't look like a playoff team, but they lost that game because of Adam Vinatieri's incompetence, but that still counts as a loss. It still counts. The kicker, not really a player, but part of the team, and the Chargers do not look that good. They lost to the Lions. They lost to the Texans following that Colts game. And so listen, the Colts do have a very fortuitous schedule, much like the Browns, a pillow-soft schedule, which is set up for Indianapolis, which does bode well for their success as far as getting to the playoffs. But Jacoby Brissett, you know, he is benefiting from low expectations. There were very few people that expected anything from Jacoby Brissett. I certainly did not. And when you have that, the blessing of low expectations, you pretty much do anything, you are perceived as overachieving. That he's an overachiever here. And it's a grab bag. It really depends on which side of the aisle you're on. If you want, you can find numbers that say Brissett's really good. He's sixth in quarterback rating, seven touchdowns, one interception. All that's great. But the bad, Brissett is dinking and dunking. He's been a garden variety quarterback in terms of yards per attempt. He's averaging 7 yards per attempt. He's got the same yards per attempt average as Joe Flacco and Derek Carr, which doesn't seem all that impressive to me. All right, next!
Ben, you know who has the worst fan base in all of the NFL?
The Raiders.
No.
Nope.
Roberto Wook.
The Chargers.
Oh, the Chargers. Okay.
Sorry, Karen.
We got a Chargers season ticket holder, Eddie, over there.
Yeah, one of the few, apparently.
Yeah.
There's this kind of a beef going on between Stan Kroenke and Dean Spanos right now over the PSLs for the new stadium.
Yeah.
Initially, when the agreement was made, the Chargers said they were going to bring in $400 million worth of PSL sales.
Yeah.
And now they have adjusted their projections to $150 million.
Which they could not, they might not be able to get to that.
Right. So now there's rumors that they could get booted out of the stadium. I'm in Inglewood. Ben, what are the chances of that happening?
All right, so I saw this story. This is called fake news. Now, I don't doubt that Stan Kroenke cannot stand Spanos, Dean Spanos, and the Chargers, and he despises this, but there's a 0% chance the Chargers don't play in that stadium because, from everything I've been told, that this was a deal between the NFL and Stan Kroenke to allow the St. Louis Rams to move to Los Angeles. Part of the deal was you've got to share the stadium with the Chargers. That's the deal. Wherever you build the stadium, you got to share the stadium, whether it's Inglewood or they're going to build it somewhere else. You've got to put that Charger team in that stadium. That's the agreement. It's an ironclad agreement to share the stadium in the hood in Inglewood. It's a sweetheart deal. But they're the tenant. The Chargers are the tenant. Stan Kroenke's the landlord. And if you're the landlord, you don't want a deadbeat in your building, right? And I get it. Even though Stan Kroenke, secondly, he's married into the Walmart money. He's married into the Walmart money. And on his own, he's worth almost $10 billion. So it's not, I believe he's the largest largest private landowner in the United States. He was as of a couple years ago. He's been very uber successful in business, Stan Kroenke. But the Chargers, as you referenced there, are generating next to no PSL money, which means that Stan Kroenke is going to have to dip in to the petty cash there and spend hundreds of millions of dollars to subsidize a rival NFL team, which is trying to take customers away from him in the city that his team plays in. It's a hot mess. I mean, the Chargers, they have completely failed at bringing a fan base. And the people of San Diego, the good people of San Diego, said, screw you, we're not going to L.A. And so the Chargers are like grifters at this point. They're just kind of in the twilight zone. All right, there it is. Maller to the third degree. How did we do?
Ben, you passed this edition.
That is a win. Put it on the board. Yeah.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Attention, everyone.
And the password is... Password. You idiot. Password, the word game of the stars. Here's Ben Maller.
All right, why don't we go to the password, the word game of the stars here. We have a full board of people that want to play the game. So,
well, now we had a really good match last week.
Okay.
That was it a tie at the end of the
yeah, I believe it was.
Yeah, it ended in a tie. So both contestants are on hold if we want to do a rematch.
We're looking at 5-4? Is that?
Yes, correct.
5-4.
But otherwise, we've got new players that want to play as well. So I'll leave that in your court.
All right. Should we have a rematch?
Rematch, yeah.
Roberto says rematch. Eddie, what do you think? Rematch?
Whatever you want, boss.
Finally, some respect. Okay. Call me the boss. There, Bruce Springsteen. We'll have a rematch. Why not? That makes it easy on everybody. Andy in Indiana. Hello, Andy.
Good morning, Ben.
Game show whore is back yet again.
Game show pimp.
Game show pimp. That's wrong. Game show pimp. All right, hold on a sec. Put you on hold there. All right, and we also have Wendell in L.A. Hello, Wendell, the bus driver.
Yes, let's do this.
All right. Again, you sound like a bus driver. You sound like you have the voice of a bus driver, which I like. Yeah. All right. Hold on. Andy, who are you going to partner up with here? Who are you going with, Andy?
Well, I guess we should go to our former partners, which would be Eddie for me.
Well, you don't have to. I mean, there's no rule. There's no hard.
It's a rematch.
All right, shut up. Wendell, who do you want to partner up with, Wendell? You want to follow the logic of Andy?
Yeah, I can go with that. We'll go.
All right, very good. All right, so it's Wendell and Coop. That'll be the matchup here. We have a list of words, 1 to 10. If you looked at the list, you're a cheater. And put you both on the air.
The black doesn't crack.
That's right. All right. We'll see if the black cracks in the game, though. We'll find out about that.
Was that a draw?
Yeah, that was a draw.
Good timing by Roberto. It sounded like Wendell said that. Okay. So who called in first? That was Andy. And Andy, go ahead. Pick a number.
I will pick number 8.
Number 8. All right. Number 8. Go ahead, Eddie. You're up.
All right. The clue is undress.
Naked.
No. Darn it.
Okay, Wendell. You heard Eddie's clue, right?
Yes.
I'm going to go with... Now, remember, these all go together. I'm going to go with pole.
Strip.
Yeah!
There it is.
Well played, Coop.
Is that thank you.
9 points there?
Yeah.
9 points. All right. 9 points. Coop takes the lead. Back to Coop we go. We've got 1 to 10, but not 8. Wendell?
5.
Number 5, Wendell picks. Number 5. Go ahead, Coopaloo.
All right. Let's try cozy.
Comfortable.
Bam. Wow.
19 to nothing. 19 to nothing in favor of Wendell and Coop. Back to Eddie we go. And you have 1 through 4, 6, 7, 9, 10.
4.
All right.
Number 4.
Oh, boy. We kind of need this one. Let's go with salad.
Salad.
Salad. Greens.
No.
Wow, Andy, you might want to look back at why you called in because you're not doing so well. Go, Wendell. Go ahead, Wendell. You have a chance to really blow the doors open here.
All right, let's go with.
Is that your clue?
Okay, let's try shredded. Shredded.
Oh. Lettuce?
Yeah!
Oh, my goodness.
Wendell is great in this game.
Yeah,
he
is.
He's going to get that.
20, is that 28 to nothing?
Yes.
This is like the Bears-Redskins game. This is like the Bears-Redskins game is what this is. 28 nothing in favor of Coopaloo.
Time to put Frank Reich in the game. Big comeback. Here we go.
Yeah, right. All right, we have 1 through... all right, shut up, Andy. 1, 2, or 3, 6, 7, 9, 10.
9.
No, you don't get to pick.
Yeah, he does.
Oh, he does?
Yeah,
oh,
he
does. That's right. Oh, that's right. You don't get to. Number 9. All right, go ahead. Number 9.
Let's go with rotate.
Turn.
No.
Okay. Try to avoid the shame of a shutout.
Let's try twist.
Oh, that was my guess.
Oh, man.
Move, shoot.
No.
He's giving up.
It's over. He's raising the white flag. He's conceding. He's saying no moss, no moss.
That's it.
The word was spin. That was spin we were looking for.
Oh, that rematch was a real letdown.
Well, what up? The sequel's not the equal, Eddie. I've always said that.
It's because Wendell and I practiced after the tie.
Oh, collusion.
Cheating. Koopa Loop cheating.
Got to murder. Got to go.
Cheater.